And good morning, good morning, good morning. It is a Friday, Getaway Friday, December the 15th, 2017. 10 days till Christmas, and what is that? 18 days till the new year? Oh my goodness, can you believe? No, not even that long. What do we got here? 16 days till the new year, 10 days till Christmas, 16 days till 2018. We've got a couple great guests this hour, but I want to fill you in on this first. Coming up today here on WWGH Radio, a special Destination Heaven hosted by myself, 4:10 to 6 p.m., it is a discussion of what happens after this life is over. We'll have interviews with Eben Alexander, a neurosurgeon and author of the best-selling book Proof of Heaven, Tony Campolo, spiritual advisor to President Bill Clinton, Bob Nelson, a scientist who froze the first man in the first cryogenics test in 1967, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, who talks about thoughts of suicide years ago and what stopped him, legendary comedian Phyllis Diller talking about dying on the operating table three times, Dan Demura, head of the Recovering from Religion chapter in Columbus, Ohio. He is a former priest who is now an atheist, Rabbi Mars from the Temple of Israel in Columbus, and Nick Busick, a former pro wrestler with the WWF who had a near-death experience. Destination Heaven today, 4:10 to 6 p.m. at WWGH Special. Coming up in the bottom of this hour, we're going to be joined by Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, who's going to read the famous letter, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus." But first up here, we have one of my favorite people, and I don't think I have talked with him since we were in New York. He has made a prediction that blows my mind. I'm going to tell you about the prediction first, then we're going to get him on the line. He has predicted that in the coming year, there will be in major cities as well as small towns in North America, there will be an addition to live concerts, plays, and even movie attendance, and that is special nudity nights. Not on stage, not in the play, but in the audience, as the entire audience attending will attend in the nude. One factor that might leave some people uncomfortable is the new law allowing widespread legal carrying of concealed weapons. Such will not be possible in this setting, however, however many would consider themselves much safer as a result. Who knows? Only one man knows. One of my favorite guests, and we're so glad to have him on here in the holiday time. He is world famous mentalist, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, how are you?
I am very, very well. By the way, that special you have with what is it, for a couple of hours about the hereafter and survival and so forth, is that's coming up today?
Today, 4:10 to 6.
Yeah, I noticed you mentioned Phyllis Diller, whom I knew well, and I won't discuss it now, absolutely not, but I could go on for an hour discussing the research and the hereafter and my feelings and opinions, but I don't want to. You got to save that for your show. I've had many lectures about that, and it's great that you're doing and including so many sources. But there's really nothing more for me to say about the nudity thing, because I think you captured the release and the whole message, because people are asking me, first of all, that's slightly a departure from the topics I usually go into. Wouldn't you agree?
I said that. I said, we got to have Kreskin on.
I know. And the thing is, it has nothing to do with security or the terrorism, what have you. It is a feeling, a very strong sense I have. And I almost did it, but I pulled out because I don't want to be known to be a betting person. So I said, I'll get 20 people want to each put up $1,000. I'll bet them that I'm right. But I'm sure this is going to happen. And, a number of factors have changed, of course, in our culture, and that is that movies don't have the attendance they once had, and more people are staying at home to watch things and even plays and what have you that are reproduced and what have you. So people have been searching for other avenues regarding even the setting of seeing live plays, musicals, what have you. And I think this is going to, I really have a very strong feeling about this. I can't tell you and how many newsmen have said to me, Creston, the day it breaks, call us on the phone. It's not that we just want to give you credit, but we want to know about this. Because, and also, and you know me well enough, please assure your listeners, I'm not into pornography.
No. Creston is as straight as they come, but what I don't quite understand, this nudity thing, I can't imagine.
I know. Well, let's put it this way. It's hard. It's certainly something I couldn't imagine, and yet it's been coming. It's been coming to me for the past month and a half, 2 months. But we have not a breakdown, but we've certainly got a fragment of our communication culture, and we got to give a lot of thanks to it, to the internet, which has wreaked havoc, you know, with communications today. People do not communicate in the same way. And then we also have, of course, it's been a tragic situation, that is the news in the past month being filled with the reprehensible threats, sexual threats and attacks and what have you, which of course is reprehensible. But also we have a new phenomenon now, and I've been booked in, I can't tell you how many corporate affairs between now and New Year's, not only to perform, but they say, Creston, would you comment on what's going on? Because I think, and this is a message to those of you leaving college that are going into the corporate field, and those of you already in corporate areas probably already know about this. Corporations now, many of them, hear what I'm saying now. Mike, by the way, I have another prediction I've made, that in 10 years from now, 70 to 80% of the attorneys in the United States will be out of work. They will have no job. As far as the law, practice of law, I think this is a wonderfully constructive thing, because right now you've got one attorney for every 200 and some people, and the only, or less than that, and the only way they're able to keep in business is constant lawsuits. While in England and in Canada, if you sue somebody and you lose the lawsuit, you must pay the cost of that lawsuit. And there are very few frivolous lawsuits in England and Canada. We have tried for a number of years to get such a law introduced in this country, but the Trial Lawyers Association have stopped it. I'm not against attorneys. Please, folks, listen to this, but please quote me. I'm nothing against attorneys. I just wish that most of them had been the Titanic. But other than that, aside from that, we have a situation now where more and more businesses, and by the way, this is not a prediction, I happen to know this is true, more and more businesses, for every single private meeting in an office, is going to be attended by an attorney sitting in the back room who will be in that business, stay in that business just for every single meeting. There are many heads of companies who told me, Creston, I will never again have a meeting without someone witnessing. In the entertainment industry, and you can ask around in the movie industry, all meetings with producers and so forth, the secretaries, well, of course, in other rooms, the doors will be left open. Because you have a situation now, a very fascinating one, where people are suddenly remembering 40 years ago that they were accused or what have you. It's remarkable they have waited this long, but the climate is so out of control. You see, when I was growing up, I believed so much in this culture, and I grew up and was taught that in the United States, you are innocent until proven guilty. That is no longer the case. Now, if three or four people are fired from a company, and I could give you 20 different incidents, because lawyers working for companies have expressed this to me, if two or three people are fired over a period of time and they gather together and suddenly have a recall that so-and-so attacked them or accused them and so forth, there are a percentage of the general public who will believe it. End of commentary.
Well, Creston, I want to go back to the nude thing. I think that's very interesting, a good point. But like today, here in Ohio, it's under 32 degrees. Now, the nude thing that struck me, I certainly understand that people can be nude in the audience or, you know, nude.
Coming into the, yeah, sitting down in the audience. I'm not saying outside when they're nude when they come. No,
no,
of course not.
Would you, I mean, do you get undressed at the theater? I mean, what do you do?
I would think that would be what you would do. I would think that. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think you would drive there. And, well, some people would do it, of course. And I'd some there's people I know personally who said, well, I'll go there, but if they go there, I'm not going. I'm only joking. But I don't. No, I don't know how they will plan to do it before. I just see. And by the way, I'm not joking. This is going to happen. And you know me that I don't play games with my predictions. I really don't. And it's not that I'm pontificating or looking down upon this. It's just that this is going to be the facts of life. And it's rather intriguing. And by the way, I want you to promise me that if the day if it happens in your area, you call me on the phone and interview me on the telephone.
I will do that.
You were right.
Oh, my goodness. Great.
I got to tell you another. Do you have a moment for another piece of information?
Go right ahead.
You got to hear this. You're not going to believe this. And by the way, we've known each other for quite a while. You're always a joy to work with, and it wouldn't be the same around this time of year without. Even though I think we last spoke, I guess it was last August or so, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Months ago. You got to hear this because this, and I can explain what happened, but who in the world? Because I'm not involved with these people or what have you. I'm going to read to you a piece that's dealing with the cybersecurity. Situation because there is concern in the coming year with the problems that ensue and with all the technology and what have you. So this is a business magazine newspaper. But let me just read you the beginning. And there's a reason why I'm not reading this to you to brag or what have you. In the past, Amazing Kreskin's wowed audiences with uncanny ability to see the future. Using suggestions, he'd make predictions, while Kreskin would stop short of calling himself a psychic, instead choosing to use, be considered entertainment. His predictions often come true. Today, we are going to do our best Kreskin impression, they got the heavy type there, an attempt to predict the state of cybersecurity in 2018, and they go on to pages and pages in this journal. Well, wait till you hear the journal. The journal is the Arabian Gazette, and it's sent to all the Arabian branches and businesses all around the world. And here, this is the way they're opening the story. And please believe me, I have nothing to do with the Arabian Gazette. You haven't heard anything like this. Is that not wild that they use that as a model of what of the fact that they're analyzing the business situation and the cyber issue? So that I'm getting calls from England, what have you, to say, Chris, how did your name? Well, I got to explain what happened. About 25 years ago, I was called by the Standard Oil, the major oil companies who have work in Saudi Arabia for obvious reasons, and there are a few thousands of their representatives living all over Saudi Arabia. So they said, Kreskin, would you consider touring this country? We'll book you a couple of weeks here, a couple of weeks there, off and on. They actually booked me for 5.5 years, off and on, because we'd like you to perform for our British, our English, U.S., our Canadian audiences, because we don't have that kind of entertainment. As a perfect example, one of the weeks I was touring was 2 weeks before Christmas. In Saudi Arabia, you must cover your windows. God forbid any light from a tree or a decoration comes out of the house. That's clearly against the rules of the country. And so I performed everywhere, and we knew that some of the royalty was coming into shows and some of the members in Saudi Arabia. So that's how they have this background on me. But now I will tell you a story, unknown. And then this is why in my 21st, I'm now putting together my 21st book. They say, Kreskin, you have this avalanche of experiences that you've done 20 books, you got to add some stories. Second year I'm in Saudi Arabia, and I'm in my hotel room in the main city, and it's a plush hotel, over 1,000 U.S. and Canadian, and people from all over the Europe and the Western world are there because they're in business. So, but I'm not leaving until about 3 o'clock because I made a rule the year before. I said, I can't stand this. We're driving on one-way highways through the desert to the next city, and I see cars coming at me. And my guide, who's a wonderful man, all those 5.5 years, they always kept him with me when I traveled. He pointed, he says, look at the desert. desert, and on the desert there were some tents. I see a Mercedes all banged up. He says, Christian, when that Mercedes got in an accident, the owner got out of the car, if he was all right, drove into the city and bought another Mercedes. In the middle of the night, they take me castles. We do not know what wealth is. I can't even explain it to you. So anyways, I was always helicoptered in different areas. So I'm in my hotel room. I get a call from the front desk. Says, Mr. Kreskin, would you come down, very important, to the hotel 15 minutes from now? I said, is everything okay? They said, just come down 15 minutes. I said, okay. So 10, 12 minutes later, I go to the elevator, maybe on the 18th, 20th floor. I don't know. I get in the elevator. I go down. Now, I've been in this hotel for now a year and a half, off and on. And the doors open. Oh, my God. The place is dim. It looks like, I don't mean this, it looks like a morgue, but it's dim. There's not a single of the hundreds in the hotel. They are coming to the hotel and people working there. There's not a single sound. No one's behind the desk. No one's anywhere. I walk into this gigantic hotel room and I see a desk in the middle. And there's a person sitting there. And she motions to come over. I come over. I sit down. Beautiful, attractive, elegantly dressed. And she starts to talk to me, but I don't understand her because she doesn't speak very good English or very clear English. But she says, you tell the future, don't you? And I said, well, let me explain what I do. And as I lean towards her, I see in the distance, in a hallway, two heads pop up. They go back in. Well, she misunderstood because she never really saw me work, and probably she heard. She thought I was going to advise her on her future, and I explained what I do for 10, 12 minutes, and we talk a little bit. And she says, thank you very much. She says, I'm excited to meet you here. And she gives me a ring, and I say goodbye. I go back to my room, and I go upstairs. And I'm now, I think, what in God's name happened? I didn't see, hear a soul. Now it comes 3 o'clock time. I go down to the hotel with my road manager, who was told to stay in his room. We come back. The place is filled with people. I do not tell anybody about this. The rest of the year, I don't tell my guide. The next year, I'm traveling, and I said, I got to tell you something that happened last year. And I described the scenario. He said, Kreskin, no one told me about this, so I didn't come to the hotel till 3. I said, yes. He says, I will tell you what happened. That was the princess, the daughter of the king of Saudi Arabia. When you came in and sat down, I can tell you this. There was not a single human being, except your road manager was told to stay. Not a single worker, not a single person who was occupying the hotel. That place was totally empty and guarded because she wanted to meet you. He said, I don't even know if she told her father, but that's what happened. And I didn't tell him about the ring, which I had appraised. The ring she gave me was worth $80,000. Mm-hmm. So my career has had stories off the wall, as you can understand.
That is an amazing story. Kreskin, there's something I do want to ask you, though, because we have a political scientist. He's an author, professor, Dr. Ron Feynman, and he comes on every so often. And he made a prediction based upon his historic background, and the prediction is that President Trump will not be in office past May of next year. I think he means resigns or will be impeached.
What is his reason for making the prediction? Can I ask?
I think the investigation, the way he's handling the country, is that he will either resign or he will be impeached. Do you believe that?
No, I don't. I don't believe that. But I have been. I'm not bragging about this because I've been with Trump, but not to campaign for him. I performed in his home, and I've been with Hillary Clinton and what have you. By the way, it is interesting that he brings this up. I'm sure in the same breath, I'm sure as a responsible person looking at the political picture, he wonders why Congress, U.S. Senate, was so irresponsible not to investigate how a woman before that worked for the president and was running for president could be paid just because of her speech $500,000, and on other occasions $200,000. If that were ignored, that I would question a person who's looking at the entire scene, of not looking at some major, major thing. Now, I'm not saying this to criticize her, but every single person behind the scenes I've talked to say, Kreskin, in another era, we would be going out of our mind. How could someone be paid $200,000 for a speech? End of commentary there.
So you believe Dr. Feynman's assumption that President Trump will leave office by May of 2018 is not right?
Well, when you say leave office, you mean resign from office?
Resign or be impeached.
But the next election.
Yeah.
Step down from office?
Yes, yeah. Or be impeached.
I don't believe that will be the case. No, I don't really think so. And honestly, I don't. But again, you know, not all my predictions are correct. I don't quite see the reason why, but I understand. Listen, I understand where he's coming, because he is an expert. There's no question about it. I understand what you're talking about. And he's obviously an authority in his own point of view, but I don't quite feel that way.
Is there anything else on the horizon that you are thinking about as we head into the new year? Tell us about it.
Yes. Yes, I am very, very concerned, and I have mentioned this to you in the past, very deeply concerned, and I think this is one of the grave errors in modern education today, and that is that we are not studying history, and it's not, and I know enough teachers who come to me during the meet and greet after my shows and quietly talk to me and say, Kreskin, you don't know how sad this is. I happen to know one teacher who spoke to me at great length, and she's almost wanting to leave her teaching in high school because the principal of the school doesn't feel that education is that much important, since students have all the information on the internet. So, as we've been told before, if we don't learn from history, we tend to live it over again. Now, don't misunderstand me when Chamberlain, probably the mistake that Chamberlain made when he went to visit Hitler before World War II, when he left England, was not to give Hitler a few million dollars. Because when he came back, as Churchill ranted and raved, one of the great, wonderful leaders in modern history, Winston Churchill, in disagreement with him, but he came back and he said, you know, I have this envelope, this letter, the Fuhrer has promised he will not attack England. Of course, months later, England was being attacked every day and so forth. So maybe he should have done what one of our presidents did, and that is fill North Korea with money. They can research atomic energy and what have you, but promise not to use it for nuclear reasons. Well, let's study every single dictator in history. The problem with the North Korean person is he may not be ready to deliver, but a man that shoots one of his relatives point blank dead and then has so many other people killed, but they have to be either cremated in front of him, I don't even know what the process is, it's not likely that he's going to be bought that easily by the millions of dollars we've given him. With wisdom, as a president and what have you, and I don't want to mention the president because I believe his wife is very close to him and she's run for office, what have you. We'll go into that. If that's the person, I'm not even sure now, but that's not the point. I'm being sarcastic there. But the problem is, my concern is, I hope I'm wrong. I pray to God I am wrong. But the concern really right now is of people off, not in the public scene, but behind the scenes, because I worked on discussing things with government officials off and on in the security area for a long, long time. The question so much is not if he's going to attack, but when and where will he attack, and will it go as far as this country is concerned? We are right now at war, and it's a war, of course, of terrorism, a war we haven't really quite handled. And what we don't understand, I do, not because I know it all. I know very little about anything. I've learned it from people I've been around whose thoughts I've read. But I learned from my childhood. We don't understand these terrorists. And yet if we only come to our senses, we must realize in the last years of World War II, we had a hint of terrorism when you had kamikaze pilots who were willing to kill themselves and dive in. And that was the beginning of terrorism. It never got out of hand because we had a president that was pretty sophisticated, and I respect him immensely, Harry S. Truman. End of commentary. So we're going to be in touch, and I wish you the great holidays and a Merry Christmas.
Yes,
too,
what,
great Hanukkah.
Kreskin, what will you be doing for the holidays?
I'm going to be, I always have Christmas Eve at my home with people, but I'm doing private performances all over the place. I mean, I can't believe, even New Year's Eve, I'm usually booked at a casino or theater. I'm going to be performing for a corporate head in his home where he's having 40, 50 people. And it's neat because some of my audiences, you know, are in the thousands and what have you and hundreds, but these are more intimate affairs. Now, if I were in your area, folks, he better not edit this out, this gentleman listening to me, because I've known him too long. I would come on the air live, but folks, I dare not read his thoughts on the air. I'm only joking.
Happy holidays, Kreskin.
Listen, Merry Christmas, happy holidays, Godspeed, and I love working with you, and as I said many times before, we won't say goodbye, to be continued, okay?
Absolutely. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Now. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, the amazing Kreskin, he certainly is one of a kind. We're going to try to get Pat Carroll here after this short but important break. Don't go anywhere.
Everybody's talking about Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast food have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck Full of Nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the Styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
Twisted.
I would do anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday morning, December the 15th, 42 minutes past the hour. We thank the amazing Kreskin for coming on. We're having a little bit of trouble connecting with Pat Carroll, and if we don't get her, we will make sure to get her on in the next week. We still have a week before Christmas. But I do want to let you know about the special coming up today, because I think this is important. Destination Heaven, WWGH special hosted by me, Scott Spears, 4:10 to 6 p.m. It's a discussion of what happens after this life is over. We will have interviews with Eben Alexander, a neurosurgeon and author of the best-selling book, Proof of Heaven, Tony Campolo, spiritual advisor to President Bill Clinton, Bob Nelson, a scientist who froze the first man in the first cryogenics test back in 1967, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, who talks about his thoughts of suicide years ago and what stopped him from committing suicide, legendary comedian Phyllis Diller, talking about dying on the operating table three times, Dan DeMura, who is the head of the Recovering from Religious chapter in Columbus, Ohio. He's a former priest who is now a non-believer, atheist. Rabbi Mars from the Temple of Israel, and Nick Busick, a former pro wrestler who had a near-death experience. All that will be coming up today, 4:10 to 6 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio. You won't want to miss that. Now, next week, the Domino's Pizza WWGH Radio Christmas Special will take place next Tuesday, December the 19th, 6:15 to 8 p.m., I will host that event. Guests in studio that night: Charlie Evers, Linda Sims, Mr. Jingling, the keeper of the keys to Santa's workshop, a holiday tradition in Ohio since 1956, and Marge Hazelett. Now, because so much of the Christmas season is about music, that night we will have performances by Paul and Glenna Savage and the Lasickney Brothers. The Fruitcake Song, Candy, Christmas Candy. It's going to be a great night. The Domino's Pizza WWGH Radio Christmas Special, Tuesday, December 19th, 6:15 to 8 p.m. Now, we have two big year-end specials coming up as well. WWGH Special, The Best of Now with Scott Spears 2017, Friday, December the 29th from 5:10 to 6 p.m. Adam Lepp will host this special program with clips of some of the best guests who have been on the Now program, my program, in 2017, including former candidate for president Michael Dukakis, remember him from 1988, I believe it was, the original host of The Price is Right, Bob Barker, white nationalist Jason Kessler, remember him, he was the one who wanted to keep the statues up. Oh, man. Charles Grodin, who is always one of my favorites, actor, talk show host Dick Cavett, actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, talk show legend Phil Donahue, to sit with Phil Donahue for 2 hours. Hey, you can't ask for anything more. Creator of Famous Amos Cookies, Wally Amos, President Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt's granddaughter, Eleanor Roosevelt Seagraves, who was in the White House when Franklin and Eleanor were president and first lady. Amazing that, to have her on this past year. Former River Valley teacher Mark Bollinger, remember that interview? We'll play an excerpt from that. Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his role on Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed Asner. He was on yesterday. Great guy. And civil rights activist and stand-up comedian Dick Gregory. That's the best of 2017, the best of the Now program, Friday, December 29th, 5:10 to 6 p.m., hosted by Adam Lepp here on the station. Now, we have one more. WWGH Special. It's WWGH Remembers, people who have died in the last year who have been on my program. This will air Friday, December 29th, 4:10 to 5 p.m. Adam Lepp will host this program with clips of guests who have been on WWGH Radio who passed away in 2017, including Monty Hall, original host of Let's Make a Deal, Robert Guillaume, actor on the TV series Soap and Benson, Liz Smith, New York gossip columnist, Dick Gregory, civil rights activist and stand-up comedian who was on this program a lot, Professor Irwin Corey, stand-up comedian and actor, he will be on, Judge Joseph Wapner, original host of The People's Court, and Reverend Leroy Jenkins, all the people who have been on the show in the last year, who have passed away. So all those specials coming up, and Monday, a new addition to the WWGH schedule, the Rick Rantz Show will be on 2:10 to 4 p.m. on Monday, and repeat on Tuesday, 2:10 to 4 p.m., the Rick Rantz Show. Now, speaking of Paul and Glenna Savage and the Fruitcake Song, that is a new song here on WWGH Radio this year, and it certainly is the time of year to play that particular song, and if I can find it, I am going to play it for you here. The Fruitcake Song, produced, recorded by Paul Savage. Here we go.
Fruitcake. It's time for fruitcake. Get ready, gums, the fruitcake's passing through. Oh, yum, what great fun. Like sawdust made with super glue.
You know, it's a tremendous thing. I was thinking there during that, I just wrote a little lyric about fruitcake.
Oh, no.
I did during the
really?
Right there, right off the top of my head.
Well, let me hear.
Okay, he goes, holiday food is great. you won't want to be late. Some like fruitcake, but once you get it in your mouth, you realize you've made a mistake.
You can tell it's Christmas by the eggnog and the tree. And you can tell it's Christmas by the chilly winter breeze. You can tell it's Christmas by the things that make you sneeze. And you can tell it's Christmas by the fruitcake in your teeth.
See, that's the same question. We've talked about oranges and apples and fruit for Christmas.
Not fruitcake.
We've got to get past that, you know?
She had it right. She said it tastes like anise.
Yeah.
Soap.
Yeah.
See, everybody, it's not just me.
Anise is my favorite ingredient.
Isn't that a candy?
It could be a licorice, an ingredient in licorice. And you can buy, there's an anise-flavored plant that you find in the produce department.
And you can wash your hair with it.
Well, you could if you wanted to.
Tastes like soap.
Yeah. Would it come out green? That's what I...
Fruitcake. It's time for fruitcake. Get ready, gums. The fruitcake's passing through. Oh, yum. What great fun. Like eating sawdust made with super glue. There's music in the air. Again, folks are smiling. Laughter everywhere, in places snow's piling. There's fires crackling too, and parties now to handle. I even think I saw a fruitcake on my mantle. Fruitcake, it's time for fruitcake. Get ready, gums, the fruitcake's passing through. Ho-hum, what great fun. Like eating sawdust made with super glue.
Yes.
Now, the first one is this horrible thing.
Oh, great.
That's horrible.
Yes, I already ate one of those.
Oh, my goodness. It's a fruitcake, folks.
Yeah, that's...
Charlie Evers likes these things.
That's the best. The Claxton, isn't it?
It is the Claxton.
Yeah.
I like them, too.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
You guys can eat this up all afternoon.
These young kids.
I cannot stand this.
Young kids don't know what's good.
Is that the one that tastes like soap to you?
Yes, this is the soap one. I can't eat these things.
Well, that's strange.
I'm going to try it again today, but... It's
they're good.
I'm going to walk this over when Paul gets into his first song here. But I figured, because I don't want you to choke, we also have...
Oh, eggnog. That's, yes.
So we have got a Christmas celebration going on here today.
Am I ready or what?
Here, he's ready. Paul's ready. He's got the knife to cut the fruitcake. So we're going to have some Christmas cheer, even though, as Charlie and I have already discussed, it doesn't feel like Christmas.
Yeah. Now, do you like eggnog?
Eggnog I can do.
It seems for a day there isn't so much anger. And if you look to find, might find a little manger. It really is a blessing for all those who partake. But tell me, who's the wise guy that got me this fruitcake? Fruitcake, it's time for fruitcake. Get ready, gums, the fruitcake's passing through. Oh, what great fun. Like eating sawdust made with super glue. Like eating sawdust made with super glue.
Yeah, well, everybody loves a fruitcake. I'm just going to start wrapping those up.
You might as well, sure.
I think I'm going to build a bomb shelter out of those.
You could.
I'd be safe.
You have a quantity of fruitcake?
If somebody gave them to me, I would have a quantity because I would not eat them.
I see.
I think the same one gets passed around every year. I don't think there's more than one fruitcake in the world.
When I was younger, us younger people used to say, hey, look there goes a fruitcake.
That's a different meaning.
Oh, that was a different...
That wasn't at Christmas time, was it? And that is the Fruitcakes, performed by Savage, host of the Heaven Express every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. here on WWGH Radio. Joined in studio by Marge Hazelett. Marge, here we are. 10 days till Christmas.
Is that all?
Is that all?
I'm not ready yet, but I am brokenhearted over that fruitcake thing. I bought a special fruitcake for you and gave it to you a couple years ago, and now I know you don't like fruitcake.
I still have that fruitcake.
it must be deteriorating.
I kept it sentimental value just for you. I kept it. It's in the refrigerator.
I'd like to see your refrigerator. It must have a lot of lots and lots of momentum.
Oh my. But you know that fruitcake, it tastes like wax lips.
I don't like it at all either.
Charlie likes it.
I know he does.
I can't stand it.
I don't like it either.
Somebody, you know, a couple weeks ago, somebody brought him a fruitcake while he was on the air here.
For
Charlie.
Oh my. I can remember as a child, my mother would make a fruitcake, but I never ate it. I didn't like it.
Now, how do you make it waxy like that?
I don't know how they do, because ours wasn't waxy. I don't know.
I think they must dip it in candle wax or something.
I don't know what they do to it, but I sure don't like it.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. Well, Marge, here we are 10 days from Christmas. Are you in the spirit? You have your cat sweater on again? Christmas?
Well, I have. Oh, but I didn't wear my other one, but I'll wear it Monday. I have one that looks just like Kelly with big glasses on.
Oh.
And my oncologist got the biggest kick out of it, so he took a picture of it. And I'm going to show it to his daughter, who has two cats at home. But anyway, this is my older one. I've had this one quite a while. But the one I have new now has great big spectacles on, and it looks just like my kitty. And so I'm going to wear that Monday.
Now, you were telling us last week that your cat speaks.
Yes. Yes, she does. And sometimes it's very audible, and you can understand it. Sometimes you can't understand. Depends on her temperament.
Now, how old a cat is she?
17, going on 18.
Well, you know, I think she... How long do cats normally live?
About 14.
Really? Mm-hmm. I was talking to a couple the other night who had a cat that's 22 years old.
Yes, I've heard of people having them. I don't think Kelly will make it that way. She's not well. But she tries real hard.
Now, how did you come by this cat?
Well, Kelly was at Caledonia School. And the children were playing rough with her, and as children would. And it got to be time for school to be out, and they said she won't be alive by morning. Either the children will play her to death, or something will get her. So I thought, oh, I can't let this adorable little kit get eaten up or whatever. And I couldn't get a hold of my husband, who does not like cats, or didn't like cats. And he's deceased now, and Kelly's still here. But anyway, I didn't know what to do, but I took her home. I just faced the music because I knew he wouldn't be happy about it. And she was a personality. She liked men. She could have given nothing about me, but she liked men. And especially she liked Hal, because he didn't like her. So they got along, so-so. But she was very good to him in his latter days. So she would cuddle with him and nuzzle with him, and he liked that, because it was something warm and something that he thought was his. So I let him think it was his cat. But anyway, I love her to death.
Now, a lot of people remember Hal Hazlett. How old a guy was he when
75.
75. I remember it was 2001, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he had a gallbladder problem, and that's really... There's a combination between that and the heart disease.
How long had he been in retirement?
I think he retired in 71, somewhere in through there.
So he'd been retired for a while.
He had been retired, maybe even longer than that.
What did he do in retirement?
Tutor kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was his love. He loved to help the kid who couldn't learn very well. And we've certainly had enough of those around our house, you know, kids coming in and out. And we helped the children a lot. We had to close it off at 12 minutes, and I had to drive a lot the next day. And I said, I'm not going to drive 60 and 70 miles a day and be this tired with being up half the night. So we had to close off at 12 midnight. Kids were still being tutored, even that late at night.
Did you guys ever travel or do things like that?
Oh, yeah, we traveled. We went to New York quite frequently. And we had a lot of fun there. We loved it. My mother, if you mentioned you were going to New York, she had her suitcase packed and all, ready, sitting there waiting.
Now, how old did your mother live to be?
She lived to be, I think about 82 or 83. Is that locked?
I didn't think it was locked. 83?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, good for her.
Well, our family didn't have longevity, but we're older, we're hold no longer. I have a sister that's 85 and a brother-in-law that's 85. They're both the same birthday turned around. His is 12th of May and hers is 21st.
Now, he was kind of Hal was a Christmas person.
Hal was? Oh, my.
Yeah, I can't. Is that door locked?
I don't know. I'm going to get up to find out.
Yeah, my goodness. I didn't know the door was. Yeah, well, this is live radio. I did not know the door was locked. Okay, I guess we will find out. We'll have to get over there. I tell you what, we are going to wrap up this program, but we're going to come back here momentarily on the Now program. We're going to figure out this door. 30 seconds, and we are out of here, but I'm going to get the door unlocked. Charlie Evers will be in here with Marge Hazlett. We've got so much more to come here on WWGH Radio. Hey, it's the holiday time. It can't be any better. I'll be over there in 10 seconds. Charlie, hold on.
10 seconds.
10 seconds, and I'll be over there.
Charlie,
okay.
He's coming.
Okay, here we go. We are out of here. Stay tuned. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. Your place for holiday fun. For legendary Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his role of Lou Grant on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed Asner reading "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
"'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house that a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers, they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Vixen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As our dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow. And the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf. And I laughed when I saw him in spite spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim as ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Happy holidays. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair. Central Baptist Church would like for you and your family to join them for worship service Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Baptist Church is located at 2816 Marion Waldo Road.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, animal auditions, take one. That was a teensy bit aggressive. Next. Aw, thank you, baby penguins. Ever considered chick flicks? Next. Guys, I think we found our Rudolph.
Wild lights at the Columbus Zoo. This year, see Rudolph at the 4D Theater and meet Rudolph and Bumble. Plus, enjoy over 3 million LED lights. Now open, efficiently powered by AEP Ohio.
Vanover Village Townhouses, located in Marysville. Now renting 2- and 3-bedroom townhouses. Telephone number 937-642-3692. WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by One Piece or a Truckload Hauling. Scrap hauling, cleanouts, trash removal. Telephone number 740-244-9409.